The wrongs, we must right. The fights, we must win. The future we must secure together for our nation. This is what's in front of us. This determines what's next for all of us. We are Marines. We were made for this.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. If you're just joining us, we are broadcasting again today from Boston, Massachusetts. We're going to be here tomorrow as well. And the reason we're here is we've travelled to this part of the world with Ireland Gateway to Europe, this trade delegation, this trade mission, who for a number of years have been doing sterling work in terms of promoting and encouraging more transatlantic trade. And I say transatlantic rather than just US-Irish trade, because Canada formed part of the itinerary this year. One of the travelling delegation with me now, Dermot Wrigley, who is the CEO of Prime Arena Holdings. Dermot, you're very welcome to the show, and thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us. Tell us about the project in Cherrywood.
Yeah, so we've been at this for about 3.5 years, and it was great to finally announce and go public with this a couple of weeks ago. And as when we acquired the site, it's when we could finally go out with it. But it all started with a cup of coffee in Greystones when someone said to me, they're at the Belfast Giants. Do you think that would work in Dublin? And I said, I haven't a clue. So I went off and did a bit of research, and then within a few weeks I had numbers and a P&L on it, and spoke to some early people like Tom Kennedy, who has been, by the way, a superstar in this project, and then Mickey O'Rourke. And we realised actually there's a gap in the market for this. And then it started to grow legs, and we were dealing with the league. We were dealing with, we were at Marty Walsh today, by the way, in Boston, or up in Toronto, at the NHL Players Association. And we started to realise there's a big, strong connection between North America and here. What else could we do? Then we decided actually this could be multi-purpose. And then we spoke to Dennis Desmond, and Dennis wanted to get involved as well, so there'd be concerts in there as well. So it's grown legs, and everybody we're dealing with has been incredible, because like even the Belfast Giants and the Odyssey realise, you know, they're a huge success story up there. They realise overnight if they have they'll have an overnight derby between Belfast and Dublin pretty quickly. They sell out most games. All their boxes are sold out. But there's a gap in the market down here. You've got the Tree Arena about 12,000-13,000, and then you've got the Bord Gáis about 1,200. So it's right in the sweet spot. So it's called a mid-tier size arena. So that's it. Yeah. So it's an exciting project. We've got a huge project team on it. We spent a considerable sum to date to get us to this point, and then we're hoping to go for planning towards the end of this year, and then begin construction at the end of next year.
So we're talking about kind of the funding and the cost ultimately of all of this and the people behind it, but maybe paint a picture of what it will look like ultimately, you know, in terms of the facilities and what people would experience there.
Yeah, well, one thing I haven't said, yes, it will be a home potentially for winter sports in Ireland. So we compete in the Winter Olympics on ice, and there's nowhere for anyone to train in the Republic. They have to go up to Belfast. So that'll be one part. So if you can imagine, you go into Aviva or Croke Park for a conference or a meeting. The backdrop is the field, rugby, football, GA, hurling football. The backdrop here will be like a miniature Madison Square Garden parachuted into Dublin, if you can imagine. So you're going to have a jumbotron up there, you're going to have ice. And so the shop window will be effectively that pro ice hockey franchise. I've literally just got off the phone from another ex-NHL guy. you know, and we had a lot of incoming on this, so he wants to be part of this operations team to help us get this off the ground and hit the and get it running. So that's going to be the sports professional franchise. And then in addition to that, we'll have concerts going. So Live Nation potentially will operate this from day one, so we'll have concerts going. And then you can imagine, because there's so much space, we're going to have two Olympic-sized rinks. And the reason you have two is because the professional team needs to train if the other rink is doing something. So it also allows for public skating as well in there. So we're the last country in Europe without a permanent ice rink. You know, so at the moment, you got lots of pop-up rinks appear at Christmas time. So if anybody wants to train for Winter Olympics, they've got to go to these before they open or up to Belfast. So we're going to fix that, and then we're going to put in two. So it's professional ice hockey franchise, it's conference and exhibitions, and then concerts as well. So that's kind of what this will be with a home for winter sports. So it's like an aircraft that has to be up in the air to make money. This thing needs to be moving the whole time and transport. So I think, just to give you a stat, I think Madison Square Garden out of 365 days has about 720 events a year. They're just constantly turning, because you can cover the ice in about 45 minutes and then you need to rig it and get it ready. So this thing will be going the whole time.
What's been the experience in Belfast of the Giants? I've actually been up to see them play a game up there. You know, it's I've got 15 years ago now. As a consequence of their presence, are there feeder teams? Are there local players at this stage, or is it all kind of imports? Or, you know, has there been a kind of any trickle down effect in terms of a sporting point of view?
It's as like Kieran, you've just listened to my conversation there with the guy, ex-guy from the NHL. So we need to grow that. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't like GA where it's natural grassroots. So that's something we need to do. So normally what happens in the league is you get guys who are maybe towards the end of their career from an NHL perspective, or perhaps didn't make the cut. So you're kind of getting that, you know, some guys coming off significant seven-figure salaries down to much lower, obviously, to play here. But part of the attractiveness to get those type of players in is because they get a master's degree. So the guys who play for the Belfast Giants, a lot of them are doing a master's up in Queens. So it's really about their post-career in there. And then it's a great partnership. And then they link you with colleges over here as well. So we'll be doing the same. But absolutely, you want to grow homegrown. Like you want to see an Irish superstar in there. And then, like, you know, we met with the NHL earlier on, just this morning. And ultimately, like, this could be a pathway, effectively. If an Irish player achieve success here, why can't they kick on and go on, potentially go on to the NHL? So there's definitely, it's I think it's and like there's lots of talk about where the NHL hockey started. You know, it's the Irish apparently went over to Nova Scotia with the Hurleys, but they had to play in frozen lakes, and you know, there's lots of talk about how it all started, but there's really strong links with the Irish over there. So, but we do need to, look, we'd love to create an Irish superstar, definitely. Yeah.
You mentioned a couple of the backers, the people involved, Dermot Desmond and what have you. I mean, tell us about the scale of the project from a financial point of view. How much is all this going to cost?
Yeah, so it is, it's Dennis Desmond.
Dennis.
Yeah. No, it's okay. Dermot has Celtic, so
yeah, it's enough for him for the moment.
So it's about 190 million all in, so it'll be a combination between debt and equity, and then we're having conversations with government as well. So we'll see, like, lots of arenas. I suppose when they get built in the States, the cities will build them sometimes because of the huge economic benefit you get. So we've been working with Dunleary, by the way, on this for about, you know, well over a year, and they have been incredible. And they're acting like a US city or a municipality is trying to get this economic benefit in. They've been an incredible partner. And so they jointly announced this with us. You know, and we've still got to do planning and we've got to do everything right there. But like, I think the economic benefit, like in year one, would be 230 million. There'd be about 200,000 extra bed nights for Ireland, obviously more folks around Dublin. And because there's a million footfall coming through here with all the events we're going to do. So it's about 190 capital cost, and then obviously you've got your operation cost going forward. So it's a big project. And this started off when we were looking at ice hockey. We started off looking at a much smaller venue, but then realised if we're going to do this, we just might as well do it right and make this as a real legacy project for Ireland. Because everything we're doing is incremental. Like that sweet spot I mentioned about from a capacity perspective, these are concerts that Ireland isn't getting at the moment. You know, so this will be new business. It'll be new ice hockey business as well. And then Foch Ireland have been super in the background as well. So there's lots of conference and exhibitions, so just skip straight over to Europe or UK. So this will be able to, so Ireland will be able to try and try and host that or try and attract those in. And that's, again, incremental business in. So
it strikes me as well that location from a transport point of view is ideal in terms of its access to the N11, the M50, and you're not far from Lewis either there, right?
Oh, look, you couldn't have got a better spot. Like, yeah. There's two Lewis stops within about 2 or 3 minutes walk. Yeah. So there's one Lewis stop within about 30-second walk. You got the M50 right beside it. You've got the N11 literally right beside it as well. So, because we want this to be a national venue, it's really important. So I think to have two of the main arteries coming into the capital city gives incredible access for people right across the country. And you're right. And then to have a Lewis line literally running up, like it's nearly running into Arena where we are. And there's also a Dublin bus terminus right beside it as well. So it's really well connected. And it's a great, like, you know, if you locate it something like this too close to the city, it gets too congested. Cherrywood there as a junction, let's call it, or an area, is just less congested. So look, I think we're very fortunate, but we've been working very closely with Dunleary to get to this point on that. And it was Dunleary we're showing as potential sites we should look at as well, and we've been working very closely with those guys on that.
So you've been able to you've acquired the land, which is why you've been able to make this announcement. What is the time scale? Planning is next, would that be it? And then ultimately, when would you hope this to be up and running?
Yeah, so planning is next. So it's in an SDZ, special designated zone, so which is sort of set out for Cherrywood. So we're hoping to get planning in Q4 this year, and then we have to obviously wait for that to go through. But hopefully, we've done so much work in advance. We're trying to obviously, you know, preempt any issues, and then if all goes to plan, begin construction by the end of next year. But we all live in the real world of Ireland. We've seen planning, we've seen cost overruns, but we've been at this so long trying to crack it before we went live. We're hoping, you know, if we can get across the line at the end of 2026, that we can get this open by the end of 2028. And that's what came out of the NHL this morning. You know, like if you get this, and there was a particular time we were looking at, a particular month towards the end of the year, and because we want these guys involved, you know. So just because ultimately you saw the buzz when the NFL were announced to play a regular season game over here. So why aren't we getting the NBA over? Why aren't we getting ATP tennis? And imagine seeing NHL. So this is all new to Ireland, all these things. What the arena is, quintessentially, it's a North American entertainment experience here. And we know our climate, so there'll be lots of avenues to come in and you know, this will be another form of entertainment on a Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Saturday night, you know, so.
Listen, I've been lucky enough to go to a few NHL games and been up to the Belfast Giants, so I wish you well with it all, Dermot. I'll be first in the doors when it gets done and dusted. Dermot Wrigley is the CEO of Prime Arena Holdings.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
To realize the future America needs, we understand what's needed from us. To face each threat head on, we've earned our place in the fight for our nation's future. We are Marines. We were made for this.